We discussed last time the requirement of Kabbalah Samitzis as part of the Gerus process, and the approach of the Kama Shlomo reflected by many Achronim, that Hodas Samitzis and Kabbalah Samitzis are two separate matters. Hodas Samitzis, the formal informing a Gerus candidate about the mitzvos as part of the process, may not be Ma'akeh, but the Kabbalah Samitzis, the acceptance of being governed by mitzvos, that definitely is Ma'akeh. Just one more that supports that I saw in the Sefer Kager Kazrach, a beautiful, relatively new Sefer that I forgot to bring with me today. So he points out in Siman Aleph, most of the Sefers about these topics of Kabbalah Samitzvos and Chutz Midabar Echad. So he points out there at the very beginning of the Sefer, there's a Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Truma that you wouldn't necessarily think of in this context. But the Ramban writes in the beginning of Parshas Truma the following. Kasher Dibur Hashem im Yisrael panim bepanim Aseres HaDibros. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu presented the Aseres HaDibros to Klal Yisrael. V'tziva osam ayde Moshe kitzas mitzvos. And he commanded them with a selection of the mitzvos. Sheheim kmo avos l'mitzvos ha'shal Torah. Like the avos of the mitzvos. Kasher in Higur Rabbeseinu im Geirim shabam l'siyahid. So the revealing of Ksaf Mitzvos and Mamar Har Sinai is Ka'ein, the practice of Hodas HaMitzvos for a Geirus candidate. And we know the Gemara increases up tests, the details of Geirus are patterned after Klal Yisrael and Mamar Har Sinai. The Yisrael Kiblu Aleim Lasos Kol Mashi Yitzavim Al Yado Shel Moshe. So Kadosh Baruch Hu presented Klal Yisrael with a smattering of mitzvot at Har Sinai, examples, and that's Ka'ein, what we call the Hodas HaMitzvot of a Ger, and the Yisrael Mekabel to do whatever Hashem told him to do, a full Kabbalah HaMitzvot. V'kara Simahim Bris Akol Zeh, Me'ata Hinei Heim Lo La'am Behu Lahem Le'lokim, Kasher Histe Yibam Mitchilas. That's a very striking presentation of the Ramban, that at Har Sinai we had this Hodas HaMitzvos and Kabbalah HaMitzvos model, that there is a representation of some of the mitzvos from Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is Hodas HaMitzvos, and now some Nishma, Bnei Yisrael accepted to keep all the mitzvos. That's the same thing that we do with a Ger. We may only inform them in an official capacity of some of the mitzvos, but their Kabbalah is an absolute total Kabbalah of all the mitzvos. Ramban Al Torah, beginning of Parshas Truma. Okay. The Gemara tells us in Bechorah Saf Lamed Amud Beis, Tana Rabbanan, Haba L'Kabel Divrei Chaveirus Chut Midavar Echad Ei Mekablin Aso, O V'Kochavim Shaba L'Kabel Divrei Torah Chut Midavar Echad Ei Mekablin Aso. So if a non-Jew comes to be Megayer, and he's mekabel divrei Torah chutz midavar echad, he accepts upon himself 612 mitzvos, but he won't accept the 613. Ei mekablin aso. Rabbi Yossi Rehuda Omer, afilu dikduk echad midivrei sofrim. So not only chutz midavar echad of a din d'oraisa, even if a prospective ger says, I mekabel everything with the exception of Dikduk Echem Yidirei Sofim, some Din Rabbanan, Ein Mekablin Oso, just as well.
Divrei Chaveirus?
The Divrei Chaveirus, to conduct himself, is a Chavir L'Inyan Shubas HaMaisos, and Yidin Betara. Then the Gemara has the same thing by Divrei Leviya, Divrei Kahuna, but our focus is on Geirus. So what emerges in this Gemara is that when we talk about Kabbalah HaMitzvos is a total and absolute Kabbalah HaMitzvos of the entire corpus of Kol HaTorah Kula. Even according to Yosef Yehuda, every detail in Divrei Sofrim as well. What's less clear in the Gemara is whether this is a din lechachila or is this even leikuva. The Gemara's lashon is ein mekablin aso. It's ein mekablin aso only lechachila, but if someone's megayer under these conditions, the Geirus would be Chal b'di'eved, or is it a Mekablin Oso, even b'di'eved, the Geirus isn't Chal. So at some point out, the Rabbeinu Gershom on the margin of the Gemara near Bechoros has the following interesting line. Chutz midaver echad ein mekabel naso. The Amrinan ho'il ve'ein yachol lamod ve'oso davar vaday lo yamo nami ba'chayim. Since this person indicates that he's incapable of keeping, of withstanding the performance or negligence of a certain mitzvah, so that's an indication that he's not going to be able to keep other mitzvahs. Because what that sounds like in the Ben Gershom is that fundamentally in a vacuum, it wouldn't necessarily be chisaron if he's just indicating his unwillingness to perform a dikduk echem yidivrei sofrim, or a less consequential mitzvah, if there is such a thing. But the concern is that if he's not going to keep ABC, then mistama, he's not going to keep or be makabel other things as well that might perhaps be even more important.
Since he's saying kafirish, in other words,
he's saying I'm not accepting the binding nature.
As opposed to Hillel saying getting him involved in one thing.
Right, so we'll get to Hillel in the context.
Over there, he's not saying, no, I'm not going to do one thing. He's right. We're just focusing on one thing.
Right. I mean, if, if that means, as generally assumed, as we'll explain, that he's not accepting the binding nature of the authority behind a given mitzvah, so then the way the Ben Gershom presents it, that if he can't withstand this nisayon, keeping this mitzvah, then he's not going to withstand other tests as well, and he's not going to keep other things as well. Slope, domino effect. I'm sorry?
Like, one sounds he's not buying into the authority. The other is inability to be oimid.
Right, so that's what we're going to discuss currently. What is the... Does Kabbalah Samitzvah mean accepting the binding nature of the commandment, or does it mean acceptance actually fulfilled? In the context of Chutz Midav Rechad, that's what we'll discuss in a few minutes, if he says that I accept the binding nature of the Isser Shanis, just I have such a taiva to wear Shanis, I don't think I'll be able to withstand the test. So that's sort of Chaim Elzer and others that we'll talk about in a few minutes. Okay, but you're right, the Rebbeinu Gershom sounds like the emphasis is on the fulfillment, not on the theoretical acceptance. But either way, as Rav Herzog points out in Shuvas Heichel Yitzchak, Chelek Aleph, Simen Yud Gimel Os Tesvav, Shuvas Heichel Yitzchak, Chelek Aleph, Simen Yud Gimel Os Tesvav, the mashmos of this Rebbeinu Gershom is that this is a din lechachila, but not necessarily leikuva. Meaning the concern is that if you don't accept A, then you may not accept B, C, D. So first I think that it's much most there. But in a vacuum, if we're able to isolate A and have a situation where we ascertain that he does accept everything else, so maybe that Gavis would still be good B'di'evet. Not Bechreach, necessarily, but that's what Herzog thinks the mashmos of this Rebbeinu Gershom is. In the Sefer Kager Kazrach that we quoted earlier, Simon Aleph Os Beis, he points out there's a Medrash Lekach Tov in last week's Seder, Parshas Kedoshim, that has the following comment. Ma Ezrach Shekiba Olav Kol Divei Torah, right, we're Makish Ger to Ezrach. Ma Ezrach Shekiba Olav Kol Divei Torah, Af Ger Shekiba Olav Kol Divei Torah. She'im Kiba Olav Kol Divei Torah Kula Chusmi Dikduk Sofrim Eino Ger. If he's Makabal Chusmi Dabarachad, Eino Ger, even B'diyavet. Beis Yitzchak raises this question in that famous Jew of Beis Yitzchak that we quoted other parts of before. Chelek Beis Simen Kuf Oz Yud. Chelek Beis Beis Yitzchak Simen Kuf Oz Yud. He raises this question, is this din of Chutz Midav Rechad a din lechachila or even le'ikuva? So first he suggests a raya that Chutz Midav Rechad is only a din lechachila, not le'ikuva, from the mice of Hillel and the Ger, Shabbos Amid Aleph. Is what happened. If you don't read like the Marsha that we quoted last time, the Pashup Shad in the Gemara is that the Ger came, in one of the stories, the Ger came and he only wanted to accept Torah Shebichtav and not Torah Shebaalpeh. And again, if you read the Gemara Kipshuto, Hillel is megayer him on the spot. So isn't that a violation of Chutz Midaber Echad? He's not being mekabel, not only Dikto Gachami Dibri Sofer, he's not being mekabel all the Dibri Sofers. So at first glance, he says, that Gemara sounds like this din of Chutz Midaber Echad is only a din lichachila, but b'di'evet, if you're megayer someone, Chutz Midaber Echad, it's chal. And Hillel also explains, he saw that this person is going to end up being a sincere ger, and therefore he was willing to be megayer him at that time. If it was the case that Chutz Midaber Echad is ma'akeh, so very good that you see in the future that he's going to keep everything down the road. But now, if he's not committing to keep it, how could you be megayer him now? How could the geres be chal? Ela what? It sounds like Chutz Midaber Echad is only a din l'chachila. So then he acknowledges, according to the Marsha that we quoted last time, there's no right, because the Marsha understood that he doesn't mean he was Megayer on the spot, it means that he committed to be Megayer him once he understood the truth, once he understood that he can't be Kohen Gadol, once he understood the binding nature of Torah Shabbat Peh, etc. So it doesn't mean he's Megayer on the spot. So according to the Marsha, no right. If you don't look like the Marsha, if you learn that the Gemara Kipshuto, he thinks that's Mashma, that Chutz Midaber Echad is Nama Akev, that's only a din lechachila. So if you see that the guy's going to accept everything down the road, you begayer him now, even if he hasn't accepted it yet, that would be chal b'di'evet. But then the B'sitzik says he has rise in the other direction. Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Daled Amud Beis. So the Gemara there says that what's a Ger Toshav? A Ger Toshav is someone who's Mekabel Kol Mitzvah Samuris B'Torah Chutz Me'isun Avelos. Right, the Ger Toshav is Rechat Tadana V'Achalo M'chor L'Nachri, you're allowed to give an Avelos to Ger Toshav. Ger Toshav is allowed to eat an Avelos. So Ger Toshav means he's Mekabel everything with the exception of Isun Avelos. Says the Beis Yitzchak, if Kibbal al Chutz Midaber Echad is a ger, at least b'di'evet. So, what do you mean that this guy is mekabel everything Chutz Minevelos is a ger toshav? He's a regular ger. A regular ger also, if he's mekabel everything Chutz Minevelos, the geris is good. Because Chutz Midaber Echad is only a dilechachila. Elowat. Don't you see from that Gemara? The Gemara says that if he's mekabel everything, if a ger toshav is mekabel everything Chutz Minevelos, he's a ger toshav. Mashmanat, he can't be a ger tzedek. Sounds like, because Chutz Midaber Echad is ma'akev, even b'di'evet.
And you wouldn't make a chilek based on whether he's going to accept it later or not? He's willing to go farther. I mean, because from Hillel, all he would know is that if he's going to accept it later. But he's willing.
Correct. But so the question is, is it the possibility that Chutz Midaber Echad could be chal b'di'evet? So if Hillel is a Rai, you see for there is such a possibility. Basically, saying in the other direction, if there was such a possibility that Chutz Midaber Echad is not Ma'akev, so then maybe you could have a case where he's even a Ger Tzedek, not just a Ger Toshav, if he says Chutz Midaber Echad. Chaim Ozer, in his tshuva, doesn't like that Raya. Chela Gimel Achiezer Simen Kavav Osdalet. Chela Gimel Simen Kavav Osdalet. Chaim Ozer says, no, in that Gemara, there's no tefillah. So, there's no indication that he went to the mikvah. He's talking about Ger Toshav doesn't have to go to the mikvah. The Ger Toshav says he's going to keep everything except for Nevela, he doesn't have to keep Nevela. So, the Beis Yitzchak wanted to bring a Raya. So the fact that he's only a Ger Toshav, not a Ger Tzedek, indicates that Chutz Midaber Echad is Ma'akev. Maybe not. Maybe Chutz Midaber Echad is not Ma'akev, but there the guy didn't go to the mikvah. In a Chalam, if he went to the mikvah and he said Chutz Midaber Echad, maybe he could be a Ger Tzedek. So he doesn't think that's the best right. Rav Avadia, in his essay that was originally printed in Torah Shabbal Peh, Volume Yud Gimel, about Geiris Mizmanenu, just reprinted, Mosada Rav Kook published a few years ago, a collection of all Rav Avadia's Torah Shabbal Peh essays, and I guess from other places, the more topical essays that weren't reprinted in his Shuvas. So he writes over there that he thought like Rav Chaim Ozer writes that there's no raya from the Gemara by Ger Toshav because there didn't go to the mikvah, and then he saw Rav Chaim Ozer wrote it, so he's mechavin to Rav Chaim Ozer. But the Beis Yitzchak's attempted raya from Hillel notwithstanding, and Rav Herzog's diuk in Rabbeinu Gershon notwithstanding, the general consensus of poskim who write about this is that Tuf Midavar Echad is in fact Ma'akev even b'di'evet. There's a line in the Ber Halacha in Simon Shin Dalid, Yibra Maskel Eino Yehudi Gomer, that sounds like that. And in the Mishnah Sager, Chelei Bei Simon Yudches, he points out, he quotes the Machronim from Redai Tawi in the Rambam. Lashon HaRambam, that we quoted last time, Kishe Yiskairu, the Yikavlu Aleim, Kol HaMitzvah Sheva Torah, Kishe Yiskairu, Yud Gimel Dalit.
They cover that all time.
So that sorry, that's in the Yudbeis Yudlayim. Similar lashon. The Yudbeis Yudlayim. Kol ha'gayim kolim kishe yiskayu v'viya kabel le'en kol ha'mitzvah shel Torah. So, some say that that's the mashmaos of kol ha'mitzvah shel Torah. The prerequisite is kabbalah kol ha'mitzvahs and chitz midavar echad isn't ma'akev v'midiyavet. Aside from that, the Rambam doesn't quote this din in Bukharos b'feirish, but that's the mashmaos of that line, kishe yiskayu v'viya kabel Aleihem kol hamitzvot shel Torah. Okay. That's where Moshe assumes as well in Shuvos. Chutz midavar echad is ma'akev even b'di'eved. Yoredeya chelek gimel simen kufav os aleph.
What did you want to bring from the Ber Halacha?
Just that he has a line where he assumes that it's ma'akev even b'di'eved. Ramosha yoredeya chelek gimel simen kufav os aleph. Yerodeya Chela Gimel Simen Kufav Os Aleph discusses this, and then in Simen Kuf Zayin, the next Simen, he assumes there is a Dara Pashut that Chutz Midavar Echad is in fact Me'akev.
Kuf Zayin or
Kuf Vav? Kuf Vav and Kuf Zayin. In Kuf Vav, he raises the question, and then in Kuf Zayin, he assumes there's a Dara Pashut that it is Me'akev. The topic in Kuf Zayin is a person wants to be Megayer in order to marry a Kohen. The Kohen is not allowed to marry Geres. So Moshe there assumes that that Geres is not Chal because that's Chutz Midavar Echad. So she's willing to accept everything to live a totally observant lifestyle other than the fact that she intends to marry a Kohen. So that's considered Chutz Midavar Echad, and that's Ma'akev even B'di'evet. So the Geres would not be Chal. That's as opposed to the famous Shuvah of the Lamed Lahoel, of David Zvi Hoffman, Shuvah of the Lamed Lahoel, Chela Gimel Simen Ches, Chela Gimel Simen Ches, which whenever Schechter quotes his Shuvah, he points out that the Lamed Lahoel was published posthumously, and anytime you have a posthumously published collection of Shuvahs, it's on a slightly lower level of authority because maybe the Mechaber never wanted to publish. Maybe he was closer from it. Maybe he didn't publish it for a reason.
So what exactly does it mean by accepting?
What if, so accept, I'm sorry?
What if he just accepts and then it's over?
Okay, good. So we're going to get there soon. We're almost there. For now, let's assume it means that he accepts, and he accepts in theory, and he keeps in practice. Or he commits to keeping in practice. I'm sorry?
If he intends not to keep it, it wouldn't be good.
If he intends not to keep it from the get-go, it wouldn't be good. So that's what we're assuming until we get to Reb Chaim Moz in a few minutes. So the Melamed Lahol was asked a similar question, Chela Gimel Simen Ches, a Kohen was married to a non-Jewish woman civilly. They had a child. Now the non-Jewish woman wants to convert, but she wants to stay together with this Kohen. So she's prepared to live a fully observant lifestyle, puts men being married to this Kohen, the Isser. And the way the question is presented, if the Bezdin won't be Megayer her, then she will go crazy, clinically. So what should the Bezdin do? In general, the Bezdin shouldn't be held hostage to the threat of causing mental instability. So, but he presents it as follows. He says, first of all, you have to ask, what is the bigger Isser? Is it worse for a Kohen to be married to a Gioris? Or is it worse for a Kohen to be married to a non-Jewish woman? So he thinks it's worse to be married to a non-Jewish woman, which isn't necessarily Pasha. But then, that may be Machlokes Rishonim, whether that's an Issa D'Raisa. Kohen in a Gioris is an Issa Lav. He says, Kohen in an Achris, that's an Issa D'Raisa. That's questionable whether that's an Issa D'Raisa Chiyuv Karis. If that's
Chiyuv Karis the Rabbon.
Right. So that's.
A Kohen, the marriage works, but it's
also? There is Fisa Kedushin, correct. It's Chayav Yelav, and there's Fisa Kedushin. So whether that's really true, that by a Nachris, that's a Chiyuv, whether it's an Issa D'Raisa B'Chlal, probably Machlokes Rishonim. But anyway, that's not our issue. He frames the question that way first. And then he says, okay, but that's not our problem, meaning, it shouldn't be our concern whether the Kohen, which Isser is worse, because we don't say in this kind of a case, Chatei B'Shalosha Yisgah Chavercha. So if the Geirus, if there's going to be a violation involved to do the Geirus, because it's an inappropriate Geirus, we're not going to be Megayer just to save this guy from an Isser Chomer. He says, isn't a Chus Midavar Echad? So how could a Bezdin do a Geirus that's Chus Midavar Echad? Isn't that an Isser on the Bezdin? He says, if she would say beferush that she's not accepting the Isser, she's not accepting the fact that there's an Isser, Gioris of Kohen, then we couldn't be mekabel her. But here she's not saying anything. So even if we know that she's going to violate, as long as she doesn't say that she's going to violate, and she doesn't say that she's not mekabel, and since we have an interest in saving this Kohen, then the Bezdin can be megayer. And if she really goes crazy, then it'll be a Chil Hashem. And we're saving this guy. Because people are going to say that, look at this poor woman, that the Bezdin would be Megayer, and then she went crazy. Not sure why that should be such a factor. Rewrite that. Then he says, even if you're Megayer, you still can't be beside a Kedushin, because that's still an Isser. And anyway, better that better he should be married to her without chuppah of a kiddushin. Okay. So the assumption here is that as long as she's not going to say beferush that she doesn't accept the lav, he entertains maybe that's not considered chutz midavarach. But Ramosh is beferush not the way. That no, she if we know, even if she doesn't say, but we know that she's not accepting the Isser Gioris of Kohen, and that's going to be Chus Midavar Echad, and that Gioris isn't good even bidi Evet. Yeah. So he discusses this Na'ivah a little bit, and he says, maybe the Hidor Litna either here. Oh, the Chaim Moshe is also with neighbors. We'll get to Chaim Moshe and Shub in a minute. Okay. Now, we had a case like that once where there was a woman who went through the Geirus process with us. She presented herself as a very fine candidate. The rabbi who was involved in training her was very impressed. So she went through Geirus and Bezmas Megayer her, and then we received information afterwards that she was living with a Kohen. So we were unaware that there was any relationship at all, much less that there was a relationship with a Kohen. So the Bezdin called her in, and she acknowledged that she had withheld the information from Bezdin, that she was involved in a relationship with a Kohen. So the Bezdin issued a psak, that the Geirus was invalid, because that was a clear chutz midavar afa, that she said that she was b'megayer, having in mind that she's going to continue to live with the Kohen b'Isser. That was a clear chutz midavar afa. And the Rav Schechter wrote a psak that the Geirus wasn't chal even b'dievet. That's like Ramoshe and Tshuva. That's a classic, that would be a case of chutz midavar afa, and the Geirus wouldn't be chal even b'dievet. Chaim Moshe has the following approach. Chela gimel simen kavav ostalit, chela gimel simen kavav ostalit. So I'll mention what he says about Lev Neighbor just because he brought it up, but he's talking about a woman who's b'megayer l'shem ishus, so she has in mind that she's going to marry a certain Jew. So number one, is that considered chutz midavar echad? So why is that chutz midavar echad? Because of yeser nitan, right? Nitan ala ishus ish, nitan ala shivcha, nitan ala akum, the niskaira, you're not allowed to marry her. So we discussed previously all the heterim, why in that kind of situation that's not really considered Isser Nitan. But he says, theoretically, let's say that's an Isser Nitan, so that should be chutz midavar echad, that she's going to violate the Isser Nitan because she's going to marry this guy that she was suspected of her relationship beforehand. So that's chutz midavar echad. So first he says that the Isser Nitan is only an Isser on him and not on her. That Anitan al Shifka, it's his Isser, he's not allowed to marry her, but it's not her Isser. So strictly speaking, that wouldn't be considered chutz midavar echad, because there's nothing that's incumbent on her that she's not accepting. If the Nitan's going to marry her, so that's the Nitan's problem, that's not her problem. Isn't that a violation of Lifna Iver? And Lifnei Iver even applies for Isurei Derabanan. He says that's not Lifnei Iver, because since the din is that in Nisei Sloteisei, that in a case of Nitan, if they get married, so the Kedushin is Chal, and they don't have to get divorced, so that's only an Isser Lechachila. So he suggests maybe on an Isser Lechachila, there's no Lifnei Iver. If the effect of the Isser is is going to be chal b'diavet. So licha chila nitan al ishes ish, or nitan al shifka, or nitan al akum shouldn't marry her. But since the din is in nisei sloteisei, the kedushin is going to be chal. They don't have to get divorced. They can stay married to each other. So since it's only a din licha chila, an iser licha chila, maybe there's no lifna iver on an iser licha chila. But then he says more fundamentally to our point, that this whole din of chutz midavar echad, that if you make a t'nai, a stipulation, that you're not mekabel the binding nature of that iser, and that that's going to be mutter for you. Because I'm making a t'nai that I'm not going to be bound by the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. I'm not going to be bound by the iser of ribbis. I'll be bound by 612 mitzvahs. I'm not going to be bound by ribbis. So there, that's chutz midavar echad. If you're making a Tanayim, a Geirus, a Shiur, and the Geirus, that doesn't work. But if a person accepts the binding nature of Kol HaTorah Kula, accepts the binding nature of all mitzvahs, the Raisa, the Rabbanan, the Tukei Sofer, Elowat, he knows that there may be certain things that he might violate L'Teyava. That in principle he accepts that he's going to keep everything, but he may violate certain Isurim L'Teyava. He accepts his Zakat Speak Lashon Hara, but sometimes the Yetzer Hara will get the best of him, and he'll still end up speaking Lashon Hara. So that's not Chutz Midavar Echad. That's not a Chisor in the Kabbalah Samitzvah. He accepts the binding nature of everything, just he may be Nichshel. So that, Rav Chaim Moshe says, is not considered Chutz Midavar Echad. Chutz Midavar Echad is that theologically you don't accept the binding nature of a certain mitzvah, or that you say you're not going to be bound by that. But if you accept it, you're just going to be Nichshel L'Teyavon. That's not a Chisor in Chutz Midavar Echad. But then he writes that that can only go so far. Hecha shabara davar shebevada yavar apri kainan iser Torah chil Shabbos achilas treifos. But if he says, yeah, I accept the binding nature of Shabbos, but I know that I'm going to violate Shabbos, I know that I'm going to eat non-kosher l'teyavon, I just can't avoid the cheeseburger because it's so good. V'anu yodin bebirur kavanoso she'ena misgaya rak lifnim v'liba balimo. And we know that he's not really accepting to keep Shabbos because he's saying from the get-go that he's going to be mechal Shabbos. Hari umdin on demuchach shema she'omer she'mekabel av mitzvos la klumu. Imkei zeu chisaron bekabelos hamitzvos de me'akev. So where he's saying that there are certain fundamentals that he's going to violate. He says it's, even if he says it's l'tayavon, so that's still considered chutz midavar echad. And then he's closer on this again, and this is kavav, and then kavayin kafes. That there are certain things that are so fundamental that you can't argue that you're only violating tayavon. If a person's going to be mechal Shabbos, that's such a fundamental that if you say from the get go I'm going to violate Shabbos and tayavon, that's still considered chutz midavar echad. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, Chelek Gimel Yaradei Asimen Kuvav. Chelek Gimel Yaradei Asimen Kuvav. That a person is Megayer, but she's not prepared to keep tznius properly, to dress in a appropriately tzniustic fashion. So first Rav Moshe says, and maybe that's an example of Chutz Midavar Echad, that she's not going to accept upon herself to dress appropriately. But then Rav Moshe writes that perhaps if we live in a society where priests are so rampant, where even people who identify as Orthodox dress in an inappropriate fashion, so the woman may be under the impression that tznius is just a chumrah. That it's a chumrah that the rabbis imposed, but it's not really a fundamental of the religion. But she sees everyone else in the community that identifies as Orthodox dressing in this way, so the rabbis must be making this up or some stringency, but it's not really necessary as a part of the religion. So Moshe entertains, maybe that's not Chutz Midavar Echad if she thinks that that it's not really required. Rav Moshe entertains as a limud zchus a similar argument even by Shabbos in Chelek Aleph Yerdei Simon Kosamech. Chelek Aleph Yerdei Simon Kosamech. Maybe we'll discuss a little bit later the sugya of Nisgari Ben Akum. But Rav Moshe there writes Yerdei Chelek Aleph Simon Kosamech as a limud zchus in a situation where someone is Megayer L'Shem Ishas and she's living with a husband who himself is in a Shomer Torah mitzvah. So she doesn't keep Shabbos, maybe she thinks that Shabbos also is a chumrah. That Shabbos just means lighting candles and making kiddush. But that malacha stuff, maybe that's only a chumrah. So he does it as a lima zchus, not that he's going with it, but he suggests as a lima zchus, maybe you can make a similar argument by Shabbos as well. But Lemaisa, Moshe writes in another tshuva, Chelek Gimel Simen Kufches, Chelek Gimel Simen Kufches, that if a person says that he's not able to withstand the nisayon of the Gimel Averis Chamuros, of the Yaharig V'Yavors, or that he's over in Avera Machmas Chibud Mamon, so that's not considered Chus Midabarecha. As he accepts upon himself the binding nature of Kol HaTorah Kula, but he's not willing to put his life on the line for the Averas, Gimel Averas Chamuros, or he accepts upon himself all of Kosher Mishpat, but he has a Taibas Mamon, and he knows he's going to violate certain halachas in Kosher Mishpat because of his Taibas Mamon, then maybe that's not considered chutz midavarecha. So I'm not sure, is that a bigger kula than Reb Chaim Moser? Reb Chaim Moser says that when it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos is so fundamental, you can't argue that that's that you can have a pass on chutz midavarecha. That if you mechal Shabbos at Tayavon, that you can't argue that that's not chutz midavarecha. Shabbos is non-negotiable. So when Reb Moser writes that if someone violates an Avera Machmas Mamon, that's not considered Chutz Midavarecha. But you say the same thing if a person violates Shabbos because of Chutz Mamon, if a person goes to work on Shabbos because he wants to make more money, so that's not Chutz Midavarecha because it's only Machmas Chutz Mamon. It's hard to accept that Reb Moshe would have said that. But it's not so clear from the Tshuvas where you draw the line. He's talking about Chemdas Mamon in a, it sounds like in a regular Chosh Mishpah context. But where do you draw the line between that and violating Shabbos because of the Chemdas Mamon? Rabbi Unterman does entertain that even when it comes to Shabbos. That maybe that's not Chos Midavarecha. Rabbi Unterman was the chief Ashkenazi rabbi after Rav Herzog. So he has a lengthy piece on Geirus in his Shevet Yehuda. So he writes, he references Reb Chaim Moser, but he doesn't really acknowledge, when he references Reb Chaim Moser, he doesn't really acknowledge that Reb Chaim Moser has a carve-out that his kulas of the Teyavon don't apply to Shabbos. So Rav Unterman writes that you don't have to ask a Geirus candidate, what would you do if the boss asks you to violate Shabbos, if the boss asks you to come to work on Shabbos? Because even if she's going to come to work on Shabbos and the boss asks her, that's considered to be the Teyavon. That's not Chutz Midavarecha. Again, even though Reb Chaim Moser wrote himself that when it comes to Shabbos, you can't consider that Chutz Midavarecha. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Druckman made the same mistake. When Rabbi Druckman was under fire for all the gamers down the Maracha Giyur with lower standards, so he came, he had a meeting at the RCA once, and he was talking about the standards that they use in the Maracha Giyur and the standards that they should use for gamers, that we don't ask so many questions, and he basically said that even if they're not going to end up keeping Shabbos, but we have Reb Chaim Moser to rely on that that's not considered Chutz Midavarecha, whereas the Teyavot. So Reb Chaim Moser didn't say that by Shabbos. That was, that's Beferish of Reb Chaim Moser. So people seem to make that mistake. But be that as it may, so Reb Unterman writes in his tshuva that even if the boss is going to ask you to come to work on Shabbos and you come, so that's not considered Chutz Midavarecha, because fundamentally you accept Shabbos, just sometimes you may be nichshel. He acknowledges that's not if she goes to work every week. If every now and then it's crunch season and the boss asks her to come to work on Shabbos and she comes, and if you were to ask her at the time that she goes to the mikvah, will you go to Shabbos and the boss asks you to come in a pinch, and she would say yes, that's not Chutz Midavarecha, the Rabbi Unterman writes, if that would be every week, she's going to go to work every week on Shabbos, so then that far you can't be mekel. And he says, similarly, if the Ger Yos is going to live in a non-religious kibbutz, where there's no Shabbos environment, so then you can't be megayer someone under the circumstances, even if someone says, I'm going to keep Shabbos, I'm going to keep kosher, but you put them in an environment where there's no kosher food readily available, where no one's keeping Shabbos in town, so you know that they're not going to withstand the pressure of that environment. So even if they tell you verbally that they're going to keep Shabbos, that wouldn't be a good geirus because in all likelihood they're not going to withstand the test. He says the same thing. He would acknowledge that you can't be Megayer someone where the significant other is not the Jewish partner is not going to be a Shomer Shabbos. Because that's not that the Jewish partner is not going to be a Shomer Shabbos. You can rest assured that the Gioris is not going to be a proper Shomer Shabbos. He raises the question, what would you say if you have a couple, the Gioris converts, and the Jewish husband won't be Mechallel Shabbos at home, but he goes out to work for a few hours on Shabbos afternoon. He says when he goes to work, he doesn't really do Melacha Gemurah. So is that enough of an environment that you can be comfortable with the guy or the person? And then he has an important line, and he says, so what is the barometer? Because we assume, so you need, so leaving aside the carve-outs of L'Tayyama, but at least the person has to accept the binding nature of Kol HaTorah Kula, that they're going to keep it to the best of their ability, and even if they may be nishchal sometimes, but fundamentally they accept everything. So, and that Kabbalah has to be reflected by an honest assessment that they're telling the truth. So how do we evaluate how that pans out? So Rav Unzerman writes here that if you see that the person is probably observant for a month after the Geirus, so then you don't have to be concerned anymore. If you see that they keep the commitments for a month after, at least a month, so even if they're historic, even if there's a slacking off later on, so that's Chazal Asura, but the Geirus was a good Geirus because there was a Kabbalah at the time of the Geirus, and you see the Kabbalah was reflected in their action for at least a month after the Geirus. I think Rav Schechter, when he talks about this, says that a month is a minimum. Usually, if someone stops keeping everything within the first month, that's a pretty good indication that the Geirus is never good. If they keep everything for a year and then they slack off, so that's good indication that the Geirus was good. And sometime in that window, between a month and a year, you would have to evaluate on a case-by-case basis whether that a proper Kabbalah. Yeah.
Would a controversial hashkafa against the Torah, well, considers it, let's say there is a machlokas in hashkafos between Beis Dins, and let's say someone got a hashkafa from a certain Beis Din, but everything else, like he's makabel everything, and now he's converted, and he starts blogging about a hashkafa that might be antithetical to other hashkafos.
That's way too vague a question to have any that we're talking about.
let's say that the person was pro-evolution.
Pro-evolution.
Pro-evolution, yes. This is a thing.
Are you basically asking about how Emunas Fideus fit into the Geirus process?
Yes.
Okay, we'll get there.
That's more of a...
Okay. I thought you were asking something else. Okay, good. So let's...
This
one
have anything to do with halacha.
Does Amunas Fideus have to do with halacha? They definitely do.
Why?
Well, we'll get there. Give me a minute. Right. Okay, so let me, give me a minute. Well, and then you can ask if you don't like what I say. So the general working assumption of what we call the consensus of poskim here is that Kabbalah Samisas has to be full and absolute, meaning there has to be a full commitment to accept everything, to accept the binding nature of Torah Mitzvos, and to live an observant lifestyle. Rabbi Rebak was heavily involved in Geirus of the RCA for years. So he always liked to say what Rabbi Tendler said. I don't remember if I actually heard this Rabbi Tendler directly. I think I did when he was giving fourth year in Geirus. But I heard it many more times from Rabbi Rebak afterwards, that Kabbalah Samisas is like the presidential oath of office. The president takes the oath of office and he's going to uphold the Constitution. He doesn't necessarily have to know what it says in the Constitution. This was said decades ago. But even if he doesn't know what it says in the Constitution, he agrees to abide by what it says. He'll tell him what it says, and then he'll follow it. So Ger comes from the Geir. He doesn't necessarily know every detail of every mitzvah, but he accepts upon himself the binding nature of Kol HaTorah Kula, that he agree when he finds out about it, he's going to accept whatever it says. Not so initial. So sometimes what you have to evaluate is, was there a sincere Kabbalah HaMitzvahs at the time of the Geirus? And usually you could tell that based on what happens right afterwards. If the person, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, would always say, and the Bezin Chicago is across the street from McDonald's. So if someone comes to the Bezin, so the mikvah is across the street from McDonald's. So someone comes to for Gavis at the mikvah, and then they leave the mikvah and go celebrate at McDonald's. So that's a clear indication that there wasn't a proper Kabbalah Samitzos, and it was just a farce, and they were fooling the Bezin. So in this volume, Piskei Dinim Ma'amarim Binyane Giyor, that I don't. This is Chelek Aleph. I don't think they ever published Chelek Beis. This is from 2004. Rabbi Tzvi Lifshitz was one of the Dayan of the Maracha Giyor, gave this to me. Has a number of articles here. So a lot of the volume deals with some cases of people who came to be Megayor in the Maracha Giyor Bezdin, and then they discovered right afterwards that they weren't keeping anything. So one case was a woman who was involved with a Jewish guy, and she was Megayor, and then the Bezdin found out that right after the Geirus, they were on a plane to spend Christmas with her family, and they had holiday parties which weren't kosher and weren't and had pritzas, and they didn't keep Shabbos from day one, and they didn't keep anything. And it was basically, they just fooled the Bezdin in pretending that they were going to keep. Or another case of someone who was trying whatever he could to get Israeli citizenship. So first he had a fictitious marriage with someone in order who was an Israeli citizen to get citizenship, and then they saw through that. And then he realized he couldn't get citizenship any other way, so he went through a Geirus process. And then, but the representation was that that also was a farce, and he didn't keep anything after the Geirus. And that was just a way of getting Israeli citizenship. So they're also, these are not super Haredi Dayanim, but the psak of the Bat Din here, in these cases, was that they couldn't stand behind the Geirus because the reasonable read on the situation was that there was no legitimate Kabbalah Samitzvos. And even if they made a verbal declaration, it wasn't supported by their actions afterwards. So the Geirus wasn't a good Geirus. Speaking to the question of Emunah Sedeos, there is a famous piece in the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is in Yoredeya Simen Kuf Yates Os Beis. Yoredeya Kuf Yates Os Beis. The Chazon Ish writes, V'nira, the Inyan Geirus, Eino Ella L'ma'amin Bisodo, Shetziva Hashem es Yisrael, Chukim and Mishpatam Ayin Moshe Nevio, Vehavdila Mikol HaAmim. So, Geirus is only relevant for a person who believes that Hashem commanded us the Torah through Moshe and the Bechiris Yisrael. Umasar Lehem Ki Yicholim Lekabel Geirim Mikol HaAmim Ayin Demila Tfila V'Kadbalah. And then he writes, I'm skipping, but if a person doesn't believe in essentially the Yikari Emuna, he just accepts to live an observant lifestyle, because he likes living with from Jews, it's socially welcoming, or it'll protect him from danger. So if a person is what they call now orthoprax, he doesn't believe in Emunah Sedeos, he doesn't believe in the Ikari Emunah, but he does everything that Orthodox Jew does. He davens 3 times a day, he keeps Shabbos, keeps kosher, taras mishpacha, he does everything. But he doesn't fundamentally believe in the Emunah Sedeos behind it, then that's not a good Geirus. Rav Asher has a tshuva, which is printed in Darchei Harav, Volume Yud Beis. That's the Kuntres that his Kolo puts out. I don't remember if this was reprinted in any of the tshuvas in Chas Asher. But in Darchei Harav Yud Beis, in Yutes, he was asked about a ger who at the time of the Geirus was under the following theological misimpression. He thought that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave every religion its own religious identity, and there's no Bechiris Yisrael. That the Jews have their religion, and the Muslims have their religion, the Christians have their religion, they're all legitimate. And he wanted to be Jewish, but he didn't believe in Bechiris Yisrael. Was that a legitimate gay? Was that chisaron in his emuna? In his emuna, a chisaron in the gayrus. So Rav Asher thinks that a ger does not need to know the Ikari Amunah. He doesn't have to subscribe to the Ikari Amunah per se. And he thinks that maybe the Meshbaos of the Maisa with Hilla. Right? So even so if a person has misguided Hashkafos, but he's observant, he's committed, he's not necessarily a kofer, that would be a good gerus. That seems to be against the Chazon Ish, but he thinks that the Chazon Ish is only talking about someone who's not a mammon at all. He doesn't believe in anything. If someone fundamentally believes, but he has certain lacunas in his amunas videos, he's off about certain things, but he has a certain baseline amuna, that would be okay. The Chazon Ish, he thinks, is talking about someone who has no baseline amuna at all. You don't get the impression of the Chazon Ish. And there's the apocryphal story that I believe that I hear from Rabbi Bleich, which I don't remember all the players, but I believe the story went something like this. So there's a bacher learning in Panovich who discovered that his mother had a conservative geirus and he wasn't halachically Jewish. So they sent him to Rav Elyashiv to do a proper geirus. Rav Elyashiv asked him some questions about the Ikari Emunah of the Rambam. He didn't know the answers. Rav Elyashiv said, "We can't be megayim, the boy learning in Panovich. Can't be megayim because you don't know the Ikari Emunah."
You need to agree with the Rambam.
I'm sorry?
Do you need to agree with the Rambam?
Sure. Do you need to agree with the Rambam about the Ikari Emunah?
Yeah.
I think generally Klal Yisrael has sided with the Rambam on the Ikari Emunah, with all respect to Mar Shapiro.
Yeah. Is there anything else?
Anything other than the Yigil Ikarim?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the Yigil Ikarim probably encompass what we need.
Maybe was that Rav Asher Weinstein?
Yeah.
It's in his Shas and Tshuvas printed, or...?
It's in the Kovitz of the Kol HaPoetz puts out of the Chelek Yubeis. I don't remember if it was reprinted in the Chuvas. But it's in Kovitz Darchei Hara Yubeis.
I could see it to find out that he holds that. I'm saying about the same with India-Korea.
Yeah, it's in Darchei Amunah Chelek Yubeis. That was the Vayda put on the Geiris. I don't remember if it was reprinted in any of the Chuvas afterwards. Okay, we'll stop here. There are some related...